When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, you know what it is, it's Tyrus. I've decided to put out one of our favorite past episodes this week for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Enough said. What it is, fellas, you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what happened? An Indian guy on a treadmill? This sounds good.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm at the gym today. Join.freeec3.com for your custom nutrition and training programs. Don't forget, use the code CYN for 20% off. But, you know, I just saw your smile on the newsroom, and I'm like, and I'd start laughing. And then, you know, a man on the treadmill who was of Indian descent, you know, looked over. And he goes, "What's so funny, man?" And I'm like, "That's my buddy right there on your screen." He goes, "Him?" I'm like, "Yeah, he's a champion." I'm like, "I know."
Well, you're a champion too.
Well, April 7th, I will be. Yes, correct. At NWA 312 when I take on Scion for the national championship.
You know, that's going to be interesting.
Truly. It's going to get weird.
It's going to get weird, but as you said, it's your narrative. I personally don't have an issue because when we first started working with, when I started working with Idol Management, all three members, Jeezy, Jordan, and Marseille, which, by the way, has anyone seen Marseille lately? I haven't seen him in forever. They all challenged me for the world television title. I had to fight them all. But that's how we're like a pride of lions, you know, strongest survive. You know, you want to be the top guy, you know, you makes no sense. I never understood that when guys would be offended, you know, like when they're in a faction. You know, the whole Flair Luger thing or Triple H and Batista. It's like, if it's your crew and if you're not the top dog, then you shouldn't be him.
At the same time, like, you know, iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
we might as well be, you know, scrapping with the best of the best because we are the best of the best. And if we're the best of the best, we should fight the best of the best. And that's us.
Yeah. Like this, it just, people get, "Oh, wow." So, you know, you don't, like I said, we had a scrimmage, although, you know what? You mess with the kid a little bit, but I get it. He made, you know. You know, you're going to, I call it more of a hazing. It was more of a hazing, but it was still a scrimmage.
A healthy, friendly scrimmage.
You know, yeah, that's fine. Like I said, it's not getting ugly. It's not that type of party. Sorry. We're not dysfunctional. We're grown ass men, and that's how we handle business. And Trevor, you're right along those lines. You and I fought in two wars. You know, we're still friends, but when we go in the ring, we know the friendship sits on the side and wait for it to get over.
It's called professionalism.
There you go.
Right? I mean, I know that word's a bad word now, but like professionals, we walk in, go make our money, and then afterwards go have a beverage. That's how the business is built.
Then I'm not even going to lie to you guys. Ask Kylie. I like to hit my friends harder than I like to hit my enemies sometimes.
You know what? I agree. I agree. Speaking of which, A-Rai, how are we doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. I had the eye surgery.
Yep.
I'm grateful for it. Got it out of the way. Had to do a little bit of retina work and remove a cataract, but I'm on the mend, man. And I'm really, really glad I finally got it done.
So what's your table of healing up?
Well, so I can't put a contact lens in for 2 weeks.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and then then I go get the pressure checked, and then I'm in the gym. I think I'm good after that.
So
how long do you wear an eye patch? How long does the eye patch last for?
The eye patch was like 3 days. So we're good on the eye patch.
So is it on both eyes? And forgive me, was it just one?
No, it's just the left.
So the right doesn't need anything? Or is it
the right is good.
Have you noticed an instant change yet?
Immediately after the surgery, I got out. There was a massive cataract, and I needed some retina work done as well. It immediately changed, got better. And then there's like with me, with keratoconus, you can't wear glasses. I'm unable to wear glasses. So then there's a process of fitting the contacts. But after that, I'm good. And then my vision is better and I can see and I'm going to be back at it. So yeah, that was it though. It was basically, I finally found the right doctor that could get in there and help, which was good.
Okay. Let me riddle you this yeah. because you are a faith-based man. And right. I know for a long time you were looking for other ways of healing without going the surgery route. What was it? And you are a strong man of faith. So what was it that finally got you to the point where you were willing to go through with the surgery? Because I know for a while that was something that you just didn't feel was an option.
Well, so what had happened was I had already had two retina surgeries, right? So right. then I was basically kind of, yeah, I was, and my vision every day was getting less and less. And I had a couple doctors even tell me, you know, this contact is probably not even going to correct it. And if we can only get you to see at this point with this lens, you might as well not even wear it. So, you know, then I got kind of spiritual and I got into, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, Christ and God. I'm still very spiritual.
Yeah, you know, that's not going to change. Yeah. The Lord invented doctors.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was praying every single day that my vision would just get better and better and better. And it maintained, but it wasn't, you know, it really wasn't changing that much. But, you know, lucky enough and prayed enough. And I finally got a doctor that was like, you know, I can go in there and we can try to fix what we can, you know, and he did. So I'm grateful for that. I can already see better. And
awesome.
You know, it's something that I'm going to have to, you know, deal with forever. But it's a lot better. And I'm really, really grateful.
Well, that is... Because I know it was affecting you. I know we had dinner in the city.
Well, it was leading.
Yeah,
was
and you couldn't see me. And I laughed because I'm like, you can't see me.
It just had gotten to the point in the left eye for sure that I was, you know, and then that leads to depression and all that stuff. So I was glad it got fixed.
Well, you sound crispier.
You know, thank you. Yeah, I probably appreciate
like,
it.
Like a fresh vegetable, you know, like... You know, like you remember those old commercials where they like when they broke open the lettuce, the water sprayed out, you know, and you just assumed right. that was going to be an amazing sandwich they were making because the lettuce was so crisp. Because let's be honest, guys, nobody wants soggy lettuce on a sandwich. You want that crisp crunch. You know, I feel like right now I could probably if there's a sandwich sponsorship out there, I think I set the table right there with it, to be honest with you. But
and the same can be said for pickles.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of pickles and professionalism, you just been sitting there while we're all paying accolades to Kevin. You had nothing to add?
No, I think it's wonderful. Again, you know, Kevin not losing his faith and also taking steps in the three-dimensional world, as we said, of, you know, of trying to fix it. And you know what? I think that to me, I'm somebody like I try to kind of straddle the middle line where it's, yes, you have to have faith. And you said it best, God invented doctors. So,
well, I was being sarcastic.
Yes, but there's an element of truth to that, though. Yeah. If one subscribes to the theory of God or of a, you know, supreme intelligence, that then in theory, yes, of course, that doctors kind of are an offshoot of this intelligence. And either way, you know, I think Ari or Kevin, excuse me, was led to a good doctor. He's got the procedure, and bottom line, he's getting his sight back. So that's a great thing, and I'm super pumped for him.
So, okay, since we're going in this rabbit hole right now, let's take a poll. How many of us are religious?
Define religious. Do you think subscribing?
I believe in a superior being, following a particular religion. You know, like when you say, I don't know, like you get mad and you say, God damn it, you're actually hoping that he might throw a dam in there. Or you're science based. Now I'm a science based guy. But the thing is though, and I guess this has to do with just character. I've never surrounded myself with friends that shove their beliefs down my throat, and I've never done it. So it's like because we've all been friends for years. I mean, it's not like we just met. Like we've all known each other, been in each other's orbit for well over a decade, and but we've never ever shoved beliefs down each other's throat or been like, oh man, I, you know, you don't see things my way, so I have a problem with that.
Shoved brown whiskey down each other's throat.
Yes, that's happened. Yes, that's in fact happened. But it's funny because I think it just goes to you should never talk about things like this unless you know somebody, unless you've gotten to know somebody, because just the first day you meet someone and you know, what are your belief system? Can you believe that? There's no friendship there. And I think that's the problem. We have too many strangers especially in entertainment, on TV debates and crap, talking about stuff that is not something you talk about when you first meet someone. Agree? Mm-hmm. Disagree?
100%. Agree. Cause there's a certain decorum,
right? Before you can get into what is a woman, maybe some intro, a little background, you know, favorite song.
I did this recently. So a pretty attractive brunette started a conversation with, turned over to text messaging. And, you know, I don't play the game normally. Like, I'm very much like, I'm going to ask you weird. And what my first question was, like, at the end of Inception, did the totem stop? And then my second question was, name your favorite president of the United States, but cut it off at JFK because I don't want to get this weird off the bat. And so her answer was, well, I don't care if you just say it, Trump. And I went, okay, fair enough, whatever. But like, you know, I tried to ease into that because I wanted to get the person before we would have a discussion that perhaps we don't see eye to eye on. And then take it from there if she's even worth courting anymore, because she's obviously, you know, a blue-haired psychopath. But she's not. She's brunette, so it's cool.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about blue-haired psychopaths is you see the blue hair up front. You know, it's like a warning signal. It's like a
blue hair inside.
Yeah, and that's not just, you know, towards women. That's men, too, you know. If he's got blue hair and a nose piercing and a tattoo that says, hate dad, you might want to skip that one. I'm a carry-on guy. I don't like a lot of baggage when I travel. I certainly don't want a lot of baggage in the romance department, but just throwing that out there. It's not you, it's me, you know, but yeah.
I've used that one so many times.
It's a good one because you're taking all responsibility.
It is, and it's partially true.
Yeah, well, no, it's 1,000% true.
You're perfect. I sup.
Yep. You're good looking. I'm not. People like you. No one remembers me. I'll show myself out. Thanks. Yeah, you just give them all the power. Kill them with kindness.
Why not?
And then as you block and delete their existence on your phone, don't look back. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a hot minute.
Hey, folks. It's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie. Formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services. Marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you. It's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
I had to actually, you know what I did? And I'll share this with the world, because I would share this with you guys, but what the hell? We have a podcast.
Yeah, use it.
I actually made a list this week, because I'm at a point now where, look, I've...
Wait a minute, like a list, like a Concord list, like in the little black book? What are you, 21?
I am not even going to go there, and I never had one of those. I never did the whole notch on that. No, I am not like that. I've actually, okay. I am fairly chaste for a man of my age. I haven't been with that many partners. I'm a good guy.
You're selective.
Yes, well, kind of.
Or you spend a lot of time in the desert. You've been in a dry spell or two. Nothing wrong with a dry spell.
It depends on the day, what country I'm in, and right. In a number of factors. But
you know what? Before you get into this, let me ask you, what would, because this is, I really want to know this, and what is the perfect date for you? Like what, because, you know, to put it scientifically, you're weird. So what is, like,
eccentric. I'm
okay.
Eccentric.
Yeah, okay, eccentric, whatever. Same difference. We're splitting hairs here. But what would be one, I'm assuming it's a biological woman, and
you assume correctly.
Type, hair, like what would be like the perfect date, and where and what would you go? I'm dying to know this.
Just date one.
This is date one, yeah.
Okay, so I do prefer, like again, there has to be.
Look how scared you are. Just answer the question. Trevor, right, permission to treat him hostile.
Oh, please, man, please. Yeah. Because I've been in a relationship for 20 years.
And yeah.
This is the most excitement I've had when it comes to relationships. So I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's go.
Man.
Don't set the table. We don't need a, we don't need, this ain't Golden Girls. We don't need no picture of this.
Come on.
Just spit the facts, man. Go.
Number one. I would prefer the female to cut a dashing figure, right? There has to be the degree of physical attraction there, right?
If you're
going to interest somebody. That's something that I and you call me shallow. Look.
Okay. All right. Pause. Is it busty? Are you a gluten leg man? Or a combination? Is it long hair? Is it pretty smile? What is
brunette?
Smile number one. Yes, like they have to have a smile. Like
well, most humans do, with few exceptions.
Yeah. Well, no.
That's
but they have
generic,
to use it.
Yeah.
They, they have to use it. Okay. And one of the things, and this is what I actually do on dates when I'm I am going out with someone. I like to go out to eat.
Meal of food. Okay.
No, because I always kind of judge someone's character. In terms of how do they treat the server at the table?
Ah, how good. That I respect.
Right.
That I respect.
Big thing with me.
You go Dutch or you buy?
I think her nationality is really not important, Trevor. And,
come on,
very
man.
Shallow. Very shallow of you, sir.
Come on now.
Hey, Norwegians are people too.
No, I want to see if Aaron's an equal opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to know because does the wallet get thin? Are you a big spender?
No, like to me, I'm a fan of, look, if you go out with someone and call me a traditionalist, but as a man, I say, hey, I got this one. Like, I like to at least pay. And then if a woman offers to pay later, we go on a second date, whatever. But like, no, let me get this one. This is the first one because that's just the way I am. And
I'm the same way. You know, I've been in captivity for almost 11 years and I've never been comfortable with a woman paying for dinner or a movie. I feel like it's a personal affront, you know. Also, in saying that, when you pay for everything, you should be able to set the table on what you want to do. So, you know, there's a yin and a yang to that. It's like, yeah, I'm the man in the situation, so I should have a say. But that's, you know, it's not about me, it's about Aaron. So you're a traditionalist, blonde brunette.
Are you a leg guy?
Are you a glute guy? Okay, are you a rack? Are you like, you know, you like pool?
I'm a Barbie doll guy, all right?
Okay.
You guys have seen some of the women that I have. Like, I am very much a Barbie doll guy, and I don't know why, but that's who I am.
Okay.
I do like a little more up top.
Right. Okay.
But I think, you know, a good badonkadonk is always a plus.
Okay.
Would you date a China like woman?
By that he does not mean Asian. He means the wrestler.
Yes, I know. Mean, like yeah, more yes. Like a muscular.
No, China was beautiful. China was beautiful. Everyone here had a crush on China.
Yes.
And the thing is like. I wouldn't rule anything out. I mean, I think they're like in terms of like, you know, if a female has more muscle on her or things like that, if she's a good person and everything. And yes, of course, I would. And I think in some cases, like I said, like there are some really hot female bodybuilders and fitness competitors out there.
Okay.
And I'm talking strictly from aesthetics, right?
Yeah. You still don't know if she has a brain yet. Yeah.
But I mean, blonde brunette, I wouldn't be close to anything. But in terms of like, if I to like pique my interest, You know, there's, you know, there is definitely a type, but I'm trying to kind of like move forward, as we say. And my list was people that I wanted to kind of like, not cut out of my life and have this big dramatic thing, but say like, you know what, where I'm going, it doesn't match the sphere that I was in.
Right.
So I think I need to just, you know, like they say, like you're the summation of.
But that's that's what it is to acquire wisdom. To know, like, hey, these people aren't good for me for what I'm trying to do. And that's probably the most healthiest thing you can do. Because one of the things that, and again, this is, we're breaking down Aaron right now, but one of my problems is that I always tried to bring everybody with me. And you can't. They gotta bring themselves to the table. You can build the table, you can build the chair, you can cook the dinner, but if they don't put their ass in the seat, they're not going to make it. And then you end up not being at the table because you get dragged down with them. So that's actually a very healthy thing, what you just said right there, because you can't save everybody. You can't save anyone, actually. Only they can save or improve themselves. But, you know, that's one of the problems with being the stereotype being a man, because you have to be a provider and a protector and, It sucks sometimes because you get caught up in that, and then you end up making a lot of mistakes trying to be the man when in the essence that you never were going to be able to do what you thought you were going to do.
Yeah. And one of my weaknesses, and like you guys have pointed it out, and I've had this discussion with you guys, and even our talent relations guy, Pat Keeney, you know, he said, like, you cannot save everybody. And I have this thing where, especially at work, when we're all there, I see someone and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this is how you do this character, this is what you could do. And I'm very emotional when it comes to wrestling at times, if that makes sense. Like, and you guys know what I mean,
you're
right?
Passionate, like, bro. Kind of,
yeah.
Passionate.
Yes. And there are some people that are just never going to get it. And that's where I'm trying to really kind of have that governing system now. And this doesn't just apply to wrestling in terms of life. Like, where I'm not going to waste my energy, my knowledge, or whatever to try to help somebody improve when it's just not going to happen.
Plus, you should be around people that help you improve. You know, because you always want to get better. You want to be around people that are like, oh, man, you know what? Hey, EC3, I'm thinking about, I'd rather go out drinking tonight instead of work out in the morning. And then EC3 was like, oh, that's stupid. Why don't you get your ass up, work out in the morning, and then go drink?
I mean,
That's funny, because that's, and again, not to make the show about me.
Let's do it. Because you're weird. So let's do it.
Yeah. Like, one of the things, and I'll admit this, okay? You guys have all seen this. I have had the disadvantage. And this is not me trying to be funny. This is, you know, on the shoot. I've had the disadvantage of being either overly gifted or having things come easy to me, which in turn, when it comes to the level that we do this at, like at the highest level, it has created kind of this weird thing where, like, I don't put everything I have in. Like, sometimes I don't want to say phone it in. But, like, look, I've never
been super
jacked. Yes, I've never had to be super jacked, okay? And that's the reality. And look, my body, we've had times where I've looked really bad, have times where I've looked good, but, like, I've never been the best version of myself. And that's, like, kind of like, you know, I've gotten the last month, I've gone through, like, two different workout routines. I start, it's not working. All right, abandon ship, go back, reboot, let's try it again. And so to try to get things kind of like in linear, because look, I'm at an age now where if I don't do it now, who knows when I'll get the opportunity, right?
Yeah,
because
you're on the wrong side of 30. Yeah, you got to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I need to, again, either get off the pot, for lack of a better term. And again, surrounding myself with positive people is pretty much the only way you're going to do it.
You know, not to get into what we talk about personally, but, you know, one of the things I said to you that I think, and it was just my opinion, was that you have to learn to say no. And I think for you, when you start, and cutting out in a way is saying no. But when you, because you're one, here's your problem, and you're right. You're so good at the sport that is wrestling, inside the ring, out of the ring, that you can get into that thing where, well, we don't have to do anything with him because we'll just send him out there and he'll do something. So we'll focus on other people. Mm-hmm. And then you become their comfortable guy. Like, oh, man, I got a guy. I'm trying to get him over, but he's, you know, he's got a great look. Oh, you know what? Throw Aaron with him. Aaron will get him where he needs to go at the expense of Aaron.
Yep.
You know, because – and then – and now there's a fine line be saying, like, hey, no – that's not what I'm going to do because it's not good for me right now and where I'm trying to go and being like, oh, I'm not going to do it. There's a fine line there. But if you look at guys who have made iconic runs in this business, Stone Cold, he said a lot of no's. Taker said no. Sean said no. Like Brett said no. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think with the exception of what Matt Cardona's doing, the indie god, I think probably one of the biggest runs, most successful runs outside of the WWE that would rival the WWE would be EC3 when he went to Impact, because he started saying, not only, no, and that's just, it. I think when we look back at it, the time in wrestling, like, I'm not throwing any shade on AEW, I'm not. But their champion reminds me of a spoiled EC3. The difference is that he didn't have the EC3 didn't have the bankroll that, you know, obviously that Tony Khan brings to the table and the monster that AEW is, and not disrespecting anyone over there. But
I mean, free money is great.
Yeah,
enjoy it, my boys.
Yeah, but if I could finish, he was got over doing something that brought people to watch, because Impact was dead. It was dead. After the Bischoff-Hogan era, it was dead. It looked like it was only a matter of time. We were on a Destination America. He was so popular that Impact started changing the way they booked guys. Started calling in guys like myself. I mean, I got released from the WWE. I think it was like day two. I got a call about being EC3's heater. But to get 1 million people to tune in to Destination America, which right now, if you stopped anybody, if I stopped anyone in this office and said, hey, did you watch, you know what Destination America is? They would think it was some kind of a small park outside of Wisconsin.
They would think it's a Fox Nation show that never made it.
Yeah. And that was one of those things where, like, you, now I'm not saying that you can't, obviously you can build and do, if you did it once, you can definitely do it again. I'm a big fan of that. But It was such a dominant force that the WWE then became focused on one thing, getting him back, just to let him know you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like that's that, and it is what it is. But, you know, when I think about guys who just kind of decide to put themselves first, and he wasn't a dick about it. He wasn't. I was there with him. But there was moments when guys would be like, I want to do this and this. And you know, he would be like, that's not good for us. That's not good. We were in Mexico, and they wanted one of their guys to beat EC3 up in the finals or whatever. And he was like, listen, I'm the undefeated heavyweight champion of Impact. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Not because I don't want to do business, because I've done business my entire career. But this is bad for my business and bad for my brand. And then, of course, I was like, I got it. But
oh, you did take bullets on too. You were very much an asset to that whole
thing. No. But I'm not. But I'm just saying that being able to, and this is my point to Aaron, you being able to say basically, "F you guys, I'm going to do it my way, and if you don't like it, I'll just make my own way, and you have no choice." And then Impact had the vision to say, "Hey, we've got something here. Let's let him go." And then it got to the point where he's beating Kurt Angle for the heavyweight championship with over 2 million people watching on pay-per-view, when Kurt Angle didn't have to do that.
No.
But he did that because it was good for business. He could have said no, but he said, you know what? This is good for business. And that's my point, Aaron, is sometimes what seems like, hey, oh, Derek Bateman isn't worth anything in terms of a main event player, but they were wrong. So wrong, in fact, that he became a rival, because he said he believed in him when no one else did. And I think for you, if any advice and you and I have been friends for a long time, would be you got to be selfish a little bit in the right way in this sport, and you got to say no. I think saying no is the most scariest thing a wrestler can do. Because the fear is you get asked once and you say no, they won't ask again.
Every person in main eventing in a higher spot on WrestleMania has said no, to the point of we question why they would even be there. They were persistent and annoying. They were annoying. And that's what it takes sometimes. Yeah. The good soldier in our industry is the first to die, unfortunately.
Yep.
And then,
yeah.
And we're too nice.
Like, and to say that you, Ms. Dow is the definition of a soldier. And here's the thing. You and Ms. is a star, and I love Ms. the person, but you were the star of that, and that's not what the plan was. But then they kept asking, and you kept saying yes, instead of the point where, and even with Sandow's rise. Sandow is going one-on-one with the entire DX lineup on Monday Night Raw and holding his own. Damian Sandow, the world thought, broke Brodus Clay's leg because he was that damn good. But when the time came, when they said, hey, we're going to do this and this, he was the good soldier. Said, sure. Sure.
It's been a point of pride.
Yeah. Realistically, when it should have been, no, not doing that.
Yeah. And that to me, and like I say how I received like the best training you could ever ask for.
Right.
In terms of like the years of my training, right? Like that old school mentality. And I had kind of taken it as a point of pride to where, fine, whatever you give me, I'm going to go and I'm going to get this place rocking. You know what I mean? One way or another. If they're not making noise. At NWA Anniversary. And it was, I was managing Rodney, and who I also haven't seen in a while. But Rodney and I were sitting there and we're like, man, this crowd's dead. No, within 30 seconds, we had that whole place rocking, right? Like that is something, you know, to get back to the confidence, EC3, that's something I have in that aspect. It's like in the day-to-day, which affects that in the long term. Like to me, right, my mentality is, and I'm interested in your opinion on this. The first thing I need to do is to get my body in the best shape it has ever been in. I know I can do it. I know I can look great, you know, with abs. It's just the point of saying, you know, and look, to an average person, we're all like superhumans, right? I mean, let's be honest. Like what we do athletically, strength-wise, right? We're all a few points above the average person. Do we agree with that?
Yeah, I know three of us are for sure.
But... No, to do like and be our best self, like the measuring stick, in my opinion, now it's not, oh, I look better than this person or the no, it's I need to measure against myself. It's the you versus you mentality, which I'm just now kind of stepping into, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like I have to get up at a certain time every morning, even though I don't have to. I need to regiment that. And that's like it's almost baby steps. And the rest, I'm thinking, will fall into place after that, combined with the attitude of, yes, saying no to the right thing and kind of adding that in. So that's where I'm at on my journey right now. And hopefully Carrie calls me back. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Oh, geez. Let that go, man. Let that go.
We'll be back with much more after this. We kind of got fast, off the path. Aaron.
Yeah, no, it's real fast, Aaron. I'm sending you over some private diet, like extreme, we comp your body kind of shit I wrote. That's going to be in my book. But
you working on a book? Phenomenal.
You know why I'm in the book? Because when people ask how Tyrus is doing, and I'm like, oh man, he's great, man, he's killing it. And then what I always finish is, and he wrote a book before me. And so you make sure I do this. And so yeah. I appreciate that.
No, I think everyone should write a book.
You're working on book two, right?
Yeah, book. And I actually, in book three, fell out of book two also. So, yeah.
Let's just start that process, man. Shit just comes rolling out.
Yeah, but you got to get through that process. And that's the thing. The hardest thing is the first, I won't even call it a chapter because I never did A to Z. You know, it was like, I think I started at like P. It just started writing random thoughts and ideas, and then you just kind of mold it. But it's a long process. There's no social media instant gratification, and you humble yourself, because sometimes you'll write something you think is Shakespeare, and then you'll read it back and be like, wow, I am not Shakespeare. I'm the dumbest motherfucker to ever put a pen in his hand, and I should really throw this away. So, but it's one of the, but I do know that, like, once it was done, like when I saw, when I, the first time, I think it was, I went to Barnes and Noble's. I take my kids there a lot. And I, you know, the book had been out for a while, and I wasn't paying, you know, I was just walking in there, and my son was like, Dad, look, you're still at the front in the bestsellers. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. I wrote a book. I forgot. You know, and it's in libraries and stuff. So it's like, it's one of those things where, but the success of the book is like secondary. Like, you know, it was just, I did it, you know, and you can call me a lot of things, but one of the things you have to call me is an author. So kiss my ass on that one. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, but again, my goal was, I mean, I was like hood rich with it. With, if I could sell 1,000 copies, I did something. You know, it was like I had no delusions of grandeur. I think, and a lot of that is just because life. I have been around long enough to learn that when you put it in the clouds, chances are you're just going to get rained on. So, you know, unless you start seeing real, like, things coming together, because anytime you do anything for the first time, to have delusions of ridiculous grandeur says more about you and your deficiencies than your reality, you know, because people could read it and be like, oh man, this is because yeah, it is what it is, you know. But then I was like, wow, I could have done this way, I could have done that way. So I just kind of and I, you know, I take writing classes, and I have a writing coach, Chris Epting, who I work with, and he's basically come on whenever I write, whenever I'm working on a book, he's part of the process with me. You know, and he'll look at stuff, break it down. You know, it's like having a coach, but in terms of, instead of football stuff or a wrestling coach, I have a writing coach, you know, because I'm learning as I go, and expressing yourself isn't always easy, especially when sometimes you think you're saying one thing and it just comes out different. But yeah, if writing a book, EC3, you will see, like, once the first one's done, the second one is not as hard. It's like, it's just kind of flowing. It's just kind of going. And it's like, cool, this is something that I don't have to take any bumps to do. And the role of every wrestler who has given their body to the sport is not to wrestle till you're 60. It is to turn that into when you leave the game, you leave it upright, walking out, and you're able to take that platform and turn it into something else. To where the wrestlers that come up behind you and be like, yeah, I'm going to do my thing in the ring, and then when it's done, I'm going to transition that to this. And you don't need to be The Rock or Cena to do things and have, you know, the machine behind you, not taking anything away from their accomplishments, because you have to be talented to do what they do. But it does help when you have people behind you who have the ability to make calls and stuff. For those of us who are mid-card mafia, when you are cast out from Valhalla, it is, you know, good luck, Briz. What do you got? You know, and to be able to do that and get yourself Go ahead.
But no, and I mean, you actually said that. It really kind of resonated with me, because, okay, here's the thing. When I left WWE, I had a fair amount of press. Like, I was actually the most read article on RollingStone.com for about 2 days. I was on the front page of it. I had press, I had offers, this and that. I, you know, with trying to leave wrestling, and I was mad at wrestling, and I said, screw this, I'm going to go be an actor and show them. And I was trying to be an actor to spite.
Yeah, what that had never happened. Works.
And it never worked, and it took me years to realize that, right? And then I made bad decisions, etc. We all know the story. But in terms of, like, being able to say, no, I'm going to start. Like, there's a degree of freedom, right? Like, there's a degree of, like, okay, well, now they're not holding me down. What am I really made of? And where I messed up, and I'll admit this out loud for the first time in my life, I had no accountability. I wanted to shut down, be kind of a hermit, and say, oh, I'll just get jacked on my own. I'll do this. But no, I was going through so much. I did not have anyone. And I still don't. If I really want, again, I mean, I have no wife, no kids. I have no one to be accountable for. And I think that, I'm realizing, has worked to my detriment in the last several years.
Did you work the independents, Aaron, after? Looking back on my life, that's the worst mistake I've ever made in my life, to not continue to wrestle. And I'm like still paying for it. Yeah, because I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I thought I had an aptitude for it of some kind. And then I got out there and yeah, I made some mistakes. I got on, you know, got on a bad path a little bit. But yeah, looking back, I now I'm in a space where I'm literally having to play the biggest catch up game in my life. You know what I mean? So yeah, 100%. Like I don't know if that was, I'm not trying to say.
No. That's a great point because whatever,
but as you were speaking that way, I was just, you know, I'm rehashing and, you know, going through kind of where this got off track. And certainly I let my health go a little bit and, you know, got a little ungrounded, certainly. But when I look back at this and I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to independent wrestle. That was the linchpin that could have kept me, you know, kept me grounded and kept me in, kept me into the business. And yeah.
The thing, the WWE is very convenient. And when I say that is because you can blame all your problems on them. You know, and I made that joke before, like, yeah, Triple H comes home from work with Steph and they sit at the dinner table. And instead of talking to their kids about their day, they're as they pass mashed potatoes, they're like, hey, so how are we going to Brodus Clay over a little bit more? What else you got? Well, we can take him off the road. I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a convenient guys will say, oh, that, you know, they hated on me. They didn't want me to do this. They didn't want me to do that. Well, now they're not in the equation. So what's stopping you?
I think too, what you get used to there is, you know, they're running the business for you, right? So you show up to wrestle, you have your gear in your bag and you lift weights, you go home and your paycheck is in the mail. When I got out, it was okay. Well, independent wrestling is you're all of it. You know what I mean? Your boss, you're the management, your promotion, your travel, and I looked at it and I was like, wow. Okay. You know, and then maybe a little bit of laziness crept in or what, you know, honestly, whatever the hell happened. But looking back,
I did independence before WWE and then even after WWE. But the thing I found was, man, once you got out, like all the sharks came out. Right. Every carny promoter wanted to book you and they wanted to get you as cheap as possible. They wanted to work some sort of silly, dumbass double deal where you come in, everybody wants to get you for the lowest price.
Right.
There is no, guys, you all know, there is no book for how to operate or navigate after WWE. You just got to do what you can, especially if you come out of there with any type of level head. Try to survive.
And not to mention, you're trying to reinvent yourself and you get a guy calling you saying like, hey, can you do the Funkosaurus dance for me? If I give you, you know, can you do this for us? Can you do that? And you're like, no, I don't really want to do that anymore. Well, that's what we want. Like, what can we call you? What can we call you? Like, what do you got? And you're just kind of like, I don't want to do this. You know,
you walk into the building and there's like 300 people and, you know, half of them are family of the promoter. And it's like, man, what am I doing here?
Yeah, and you work the promoter and you got to put him over. And and he all his moves are powerbomb, figure four, dive, get color, and hit him with a light
bulb. Couple stunners. You got to hit a stunner in there.
Yeah, and then hit him with a light bulb, and then he rolls you up after he kicks out of your finish. But, yeah, but indies also build stars, too. So it just when you come from, again, it's like you go from the NFL, and then all of a sudden you're like, you get a call from the XFL. It's not going to be the same thing. You know, it's not even a little bit. And again, no shade at anything, but there's only one, you know. So, there's two. But wrestling's different because there's so many different companies. But it's basically comes down to, are you a product of the universe or are you a self-made star? And the easiest way to determine that is if a guy becomes the top guy in the WWE and when he leaves, he doesn't do shit and can't get over anywhere else, then he was a product of the machine. If you were a guy there who complained that you're a star and they didn't see it, and when they cast you out, you become a bigger star, then you're a self-made star who's talented. And the WWE, you can say with all degrees of confidence, they were wrong about me. So it just depends on what you're going to do. The good news is if you don't want to do shit, you can be like many, and unfortunately way too many of us who spent time in the WWE, who will blame them for all your shortcomings. And though, even though you haven't been in the WWE for 5 years, somehow they're still hating on you. They've moved on. You know, once you got the endeavors, just like anything else, like a guy who gets cut from the NFL and he's trying to blame the head coach who's been fired and moved on. Well, if that's the case, then the Vikings would have called you back the day he was fired. You know, so it's like, but that's what we do. And that's where you don't have reason and accountability. And then you end up staying in the same shit, and you end up substance abuse and all this other shit to numb you up because you just won't deal with a guy in the mirror because it's so much, it's so convenient to blame the WWE for all your problems, because there's a lot of guys, oh, you meet up north and you know all this other stuff, or guy, then you surround yourself with guys who never even made it, who criticize everybody who's doing well in the WWE, and but yet they're watching it every week, you know. So make up your make up your mind, you know. Is it the worst wrestling you've ever seen in your life? Why are you watching it? You know, I don't watch bad movies. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know they would trade their
in a second, you know, and that's the biggest thing is the best way to fix yourself is self, and the easiest way to do it is to man up to the man in the mirror, and you can fix that guy, but you can't fix, you know, the systemic hating of the WWE. Like, stop it.
Well, you got to be honest with yourself as a man and who you are and what you contributed that day to your success. And I think a lot of people just don't do that.
But here's, you're 1,000% right. You're 1,000% right. And here's the thing. You can spend 4 years feeling sorry for yourself. It takes one day to stand in the mirror and change it.
Yep.
And then it starts. And then it begins. And I'm telling you right now, a self-healed man is a dangerous man, in a sense that he can be successful and he can waver anything and can walk through it, because he's no longer looking to anyone else. He's looking within himself, because you can, and you'll find out, you'll know the truth. Like, you know what? I'm doing it on my own, and I'm not getting calls, and I'm at the best me and no one's calling me. Then you know what? It's time for me to move on. I've answered all the questions and my question's been answered. I didn't necessarily like the answer, but I got the answer, and it's not the WWE's fault. It's just my time is up. And well, you know, and then that, you know, with some of us, that it's scary. Sometimes it's, you know, that's why so many guys stay too long, because they're afraid to step out the box. So,
what will also help people is they revert back to what we talked about earlier, and that's surrounding yourself with like-minded people that support you. I know for me, not to get a little mushy, I've called on several of you guys throughout, just in my personal life, and ask you questions of, am I going crazy? Is this wrong?
No.
And because I trust you men. I care about you men. I'd take a bullet for you men.
You know, but that is contagious, because we all do homie checks now, and that's something I never used to do. You know, I'd go a year or 2 years without talking to a buddy of mine, and you try to catch up in one passing at an autograph signing. It's just, that's not a friendship. That's like, my demons are big and I'm living in a hole and he's living in a hole, but and we both think we're the only ones going through it. So the homie check is effective, and it's spreading, because, you know, we check on each other. You don't necessarily have to be in the NWA locker room for us to check on you. You know, I check on Kevin Nash at least twice a week, whether he wants it or not. Just random, just, hey, Briz, how are we doing? You know, just, you know, and I'll get a, hey, how are you? You know, Trevor is you started the homie check, and it's been, I think it's healthy and it's good for us. And this podcast is just basically for us to shoot. It is what it is. And, it's doing successful. It's doing cool. So much so, before I got to wrap up, but I have to do an advertisement after this. So we're moving up, fellas. We're climbing the food chain, fellas.
Wait a minute. This advertisement isn't for like ass cream or anything, is it? Like, we're not.
No, and I didn't like it when Edge and Jericho did it either, or Christian.
Okay.
It
was
Christian. Edge and Christian. Okay, yeah. No. But you know what? If ass cream was paying, you'd be doing it. you run in your mouth. You run in your mouth. But if there was a check on the end of it, you'd be like, hey, I like it so much. I put it in my cereal. So.
Yep.
All right. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been Kevin, EC3, Trevor, Aaron, and myself, Tyrus and the Wise Men. Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.